But anyway, so we got lots of adventures going on. You know, the Sri Lanka adventures. It seems like there's people, I mean, the feedback, for those of you who aren't following, I mean, they've sent feedback of, you know, I think there were two or three people that they prayed for where sight has been restored to people who've been blind since birth. Amazing, amazing stuff. And of course, we've got our own adventures here. Water skiing in Main Road behind a bucky, you know, windsurfing, great bathing without having to get out of your bed. So we've got our own adventures. But in that, it's amazing how God works. You know, my wife and myself, she's not yet, she just left Machli. So weird, I still struggle to say a name because after the initial, when our dating, everything became Lif. Lif. Not Kif, Lif. So now, I struggled in the beginning when we first met. I didn't actually ever want to say a name when I was trying to like, hey, how's it, babe? You know, when I was trying to flirt with her. Because I was just too scared I was going to mess up her name. So I just didn't say her name. And then it went from not saying her name to now where she's Lif. To now when I have to speak to other people about her, my tongue can't quite get around the name. Machli. Still sounds weird. But anyway, so we were sitting. Mufasa. No, that's actually terrible. Where is she? I haven't done anything wrong lately to be so it's okay. I'm in the good books at the moment. So we're sitting home yesterday, and then all of a sudden we just kind of, we're like, what are we doing? We're busy sitting at home. I went out doing the course, I think, of the evening on Friday night to go get a DVD. Because the first time I'm home on a Friday in I don't know how many weeks, because we always have youth on a Friday. So I thought, oh, we're just going to cuddle up, get a DVD, a pizza, oh, fantastic, snookums, you know. So I was like, yo, let's go get a DVD, yo. You know, so now we only watch series, because every other movie, there isn't a movie, you like watch 10 minutes of it, and then you've got to turn it off. So we're like, look, so far the safest bet is a series, is minimal, you know, stuff that isn't that cool in it. So anyway, so drive out, and I'm literally felt like I needed to push the submarine button on my car if I had one, like Batman. So I went out, and the water was literally like over the bonnet. So obviously, I told her to Machli phone me. She's obviously worried, and I'm just like, look, I don't know if I'm gonna make it back with a car, but I might swim back. But it's crazy outside. I don't know who was in town on Friday night, or okay, who heard the sirens? If you weren't in town, you must have been, but I mean, it was chaotic. It was people trying to rescue, I mean, all the shops there opposite, there by Woolworths, that whole area, all of them were closed on Saturday because they were flooded. And it was just disaster risk management, like on the pavement, or I don't know if it was a pavement, there was so much water, but they were over something. Hopefully it wasn't a body, but it was like through the water, lights everywhere, green lights everywhere. So we got home and we're like, oh, yes, so it's terrible, sad. Next morning, again, we're sitting, we're like, oh, it's so good to be at home, and, you know, just be able to, and then it dawned on me, we're sitting at home. We're sitting, and patients are being carried out of MediClinic. People are, their houses, they're struggling just to save what little they've been able to accumulate over the years. They don't have enough money to replace it, and they're trying to save, and I'm sitting at home, all comfy. And I'll confess, I was playing PlayStation, like all good pastors do on their days off. Any will disagree. That's not what any does. I can guarantee you. Then it dawned on me, and I was just like, yes, I just started repenting. I started crying, not because of just like, oh, I'm so connected with God. It was kind of like my daughter when she breaks something, and before I come home, she starts crying because she knows something's going to happen to her when she gets home. So it was one of those, I was repenting and just weeping because I was like, God, I just really stuffed up. I really stuffed up. Why am I sitting at home in my comfy home when this is why you've placed the church here, to be that light, to be that lighthouse, that when the water's choppy, the ship still, those people still know how to find safety. So anyway, so it just hit me, you know, that's what we're about. And that's completely got nothing to do with my message. Okay, that's not how I typed that originally. But it just hit me, that's what we're about. You know, that's what we should be about as the church, as the body of Christ, as the kingdom representatives here on earth. You know, when we go out into the world and we tell people, oh, come visit us at church, it's so great, but why? I've got money, I've got whatever. it's great trying to convince them with great words and all that sort of stuff, but they can't see it in our lives. They can't see us standing on the side of the river while it's flooding and taking away people's belongings away, and we're standing there grabbing at people trying to save them. They can't see us being that good Samaritan, that we're not so concerned about our destination, but about everybody that God wants to bring along on the journey that is broken and dying. We can preach till we blue in the face about how great the kingdom is, but if they don't see it manifest in our lives, then it's just more empty words, more empty promises. And you know what? And especially in this country, ANC and the rest of the government has given enough promises to lost people a lifetime that they haven't followed up on. You know, so what makes us different? You know, so obviously initially, yeah, I was just, so we spent literally the whole day yesterday, this morning. I mean, I only really got to go through my message again about 2 hours before the service. Fortunately, I'd already finished it earlier, but just because all this time was spent trying to become those kingdom representatives, not just for myself, for us. You know, when that SOS goes out, there's a fire in Mzamo, that the people of God are there, carrying out clothes, carrying babies, you know, and there'll be opportunity to pray. But first and foremost, that person is worried about the fact that their house is burning down and everything they've worked their whole life for and saved up for is in there. You know, and where are we? You know, and it's not a condemnation thing. It's about a, yes, sir. Are we really fulfilling the Great Commission in its entirety? Because if we are, people need a want to be part of this family when they see the saints walking around in the street. You know, if you're walking down the street, if Yoni's walking down the street and she was just at the hospital carrying babies out, saving people's children, when she walks in the street, I guarantee you those mothers are going to come up to her and be like, thank you for it. What made you do that? And then we can say, then you've got an open door. Jesus, he didn't make me do anything. I wanted to do it. He freely gave me all these things. I freely want to give those things to everybody else. I didn't earn it or nothing. I received it freely. So just as freely as I received it, I want to express that love and compassion to all of you. You know, there's the open door. So, with regards to the kingdom, we want to express the kingdom, but it's difficult sometimes. We don't fully grasp what the kingdom really entails. And I'm not going to go too in-depth on it. That's why we got, you know, Henny here who's fantastic on it. I'm just going to give you some of the points that I feel like you say, for us to really get some of the points of the kingdom, to get what it means for the kingdom. The reason I started this message was one youth on a Friday night. I wanted to do a series just on the kingdom. Just so they can understand, this is what it means to be in the kingdom. This is what the kingdom entails. This is where we're going. This is all those sort of things. And none of them knew even what a kingdom was, let alone the heavenly kingdom. So obviously I started this message just to, in brief, kind of give them some ideas. And one of the things, obviously, easy question to ask, what is a kingdom? What makes a kingdom different from everything else? It has a king. Okay, there's a king that rules over the kingdom. And at certain points that I want to just talk about today. Just 3 points I want to talk on. The points of rule for the king is there's authority. Obviously, there's the law and growth. 3 things that the king has say in that expresses the kingdom, all those sort of things. I want to chat on touch on briefly. Okay, and obviously we know that there are 2 kingdoms when the Bible talks about kingdom. Okay, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Obviously, I did a Google search. Great thing about Google. Doesn't really say kingdom of darkness in that many words, but everything points to that there's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. Okay, and one of the things, in brief, kingdom of darkness. When we talk about darkness, I was just meditating on it. But when we talk about darkness, you know, there's many things that scripture shows about people who dwell in the darkness. All the impurities, sexual immorality, all this, it gives us all these lists. But ultimately what it comes down to is when people want to dwell in the darkness, they want to, okay, at some stage, but darkness literally means that they cannot see into eternity. When the lights are turned off, what are you more concerned about than anything else in that room? It's about stubbing your toe. It's about tripping over something. You're concerned about your proximity to any sort of danger. You're not even worried about where you're going. You just want to make sure that you're safe. You know, and majority of the world, people are living like that now. You know, you can call it selfishness, self-centeredness, all that sort of stuff, but they're self-centered because they're in darkness. There's no source giving them direction. There's nothing that is telling them, this is ultimately where you're going. So everything that's happening, you know, even the pain that you're feeling, ultimately is heading in this direction. Is heading to something better. When you're in darkness, you don't see that. So obviously, all you're going to be living for is to avoid the pain. Again, when there is pain, to find the quickest way to get rid of it. Because today matters and the now matters. And scared to step out of that, you know, we're scared to step out of that darkness because we do not have foresight. We cannot see. We're so used to just living for the now. Even when people brings a way out, there's still fear that resonates with us that like, so. But all I know is the here and now. All I know is this darkness. How can there possibly be something more? Because everything has been about how to take care of myself here and now. Okay, so if we look at the kingdom of darkness, who is king in the kingdom of darkness? Ultimately, thank you, Henny, is, you know, but with regards to our here and now, we put ourselves in that position. We determine where we want to go. But without us knowing, still under the influence of the evil one. Okay? Scripture says the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Okay? Because he knows how to use that. That fear that we have of pain, that fear of, you know, where are we going, that fear of failing, all those sort of things. He knows that. So he doesn't come outright and stand there with a, you know, pitchfork and horns in front of us and it's like takes us by the hand. It's like, don't worry, I know it's going to hurt, but you got nowhere else to go. Okay, so just come with me. Like, I don't want to, you know, but what else are you going to do? There's no one else for you. He doesn't do that. He knows by our default status at that stage is, ooh, what makes me feel. So he starts filling us with all these things. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. Because he knows as long as he feeds us with that, we're not going to look for anything else. We're just going to stay locked in our room while the storm is going on outside. We're just going to sit there and just make sure that we can make it through to the next day. Okay, so we place ourselves in that throne without realizing that ultimately we're still under his authority at that stage. We willingly allow ourselves to be put in that position. Okay? So number one, the authority is fleshly authority under the influence of the evil one. Okay, in other words, there's never a final word. Okay, the thing with regards to authority is that whoever's in authority ultimately has the final word. Okay? He ultimately has the final word. He has to say, whoever it is, the king, if the king says, chop off all five of those people's heads, it happens because he's king. What he says goes. Okay? If the king says, you know, when I blow this horn, everybody's gonna worship like this, in this way, on one leg, holding an ear. Everybody does because he has final say. He has a final word, and everybody is in unity who follows him around that thing. No matter what it is. And I'm not talking about right or wrong. That's how it is in the kingdom. That's how it operates. But now when we put ourselves at the center, there is no final word. Because everything goes about how we feel. Everything goes about how we feel. You know what? And what feels good yesterday does not necessarily feel good today. So there is no absolute authority. There is no absolute final. Everything is relative. Because, you know what? Eugene feels that, you know, wearing his shirt inside out is the new cool thing. And that's going to change the world because people are going to be more relaxed. I'm like, no. I don't think that's going to work. Okay? Then tomorrow he changes his mind. He decides everybody needs to donate half of their salary to Zuma. That's the only way the country is going to get better. But every day it changes because he himself is looking for the here and now. He cannot see further than where he currently is at. So there is no final will. There is no absolute. And that's what's great, you know, for Satan. As long as he keeps us focusing on ourselves, focusing on what we believe is, you know, we're so wise that we can do these things, there's never going to be a place of unity in the world. Hence, there's always wars, all those sort of things. And he just plays on it. He feeds our ego in that sense. No, Eugene, you know everything. You know, anything. Jacques doesn't know anything. I think you need to tell him how to do everything. Just keeps feeding that ego. And as soon as that ego keeps getting fed, there's no submission. Okay? There's no following. Okay? If people aren't willing to follow, we're never going to go anywhere. Okay? Leaders cannot lead people who don't know how to be followed. Okay? And leaders cannot go lead if they don't know where they're going themselves. Okay? The second one, law. Okay? Obviously, law is a standard. Okay, that the king puts out. This is where the line is. If you're on this side, you're all going to get your heads chopped off. If you're on that side, you're not. Okay, and this line is what I say is right, what I say is wrong. Okay, that law is the judgment line. this side, that side. He decides what is on what side, what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is not. He decides the standard by which we then follow, that the whoever's within his domain, whoever's within his reign, okay, he sets a standard of what goes and what doesn't fly in the kingdom. Okay, and that's what the king does with regards to law. But if we look into the world, the only law that is out there is the law of lust. Okay? And why do I say that? Everything about, if you're in darkness and you're concerned about here now, about me not stubbing my toe, about the pain, getting through the immediate time, day, and for my own self, all you want to do is take, to feed, to make sure that that bubble that you're in stays whole, stays safe. You can never give out. You can never truly give out. Even you're giving out, there's an element of, I'm going to look good in everybody's eyes. I'm going to feel good about myself because I'm now donating 50 million bags of maize to, you know, Uzbekistan or whatever. There's always this element of, what am I going to get out of it? Okay, and this is, and I'm not even talking about the obvious. You know, I'm not talking about sexual immorality. I'm talking about just, that's the law that we live by. You know, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things. That's the stuff we end up following. Okay? That's the law. That's the standard. And the problem with that is, it's not an absolute. It's not an absolute because everybody lusts at a different time of day about something else. In other words, there's something that I need every day that is going to give me fulfillment and peace. And it differs for everybody. So the line between right and wrong is very blurred, very vague. And we see it now in the news all the time. Yeah, I mean, you know, when we talk about the gay agenda, all that is they're just living by the law of lust. They've been hurt. There's stuff in their lives that have been out of place. There's been all these scar tissues, and they've just fallen into the law of lust. I need something to fix it now. I'm not going to try and find a way out. It's too scary outside of this dark room. I don't know what's outside there, but I just want to take in here just to keep me alive within this room. Okay, and that's where the world's headed to. That's where everybody, our children, everybody's getting drawn into. You've got to make sure that you are okay for now. One of our pet irritations right now for my wife and myself is it's crept into the kingdom of God also. Christians living the same way. And sometimes it can seem like petty things, but it all just adds up. You know, one of the things is, it sounds trivial, but Henny preached an awesome sermon last week on world, you know, about worldviews and so on. You know, if you haven't heard it, I encourage you to download it. But if you're walking down the street and there is a massive plastic bag on the middle of the pavement, which someone has done, what stops you from just picking it up and putting it in the bin? Sounds trivial. But the mindset starts creeping in. I mean, where we live, the block of flats, it's always like we as people, believers, non-believers, doesn't matter, someone else is going to do it at some stage. It's okay, someone else is going to, because I've got to get somewhere quickly. It's about me and my purpose and where I'm busy going right now. You know, and that's not meant for it to be in God's kingdom. You know, that's exactly what all those, you know, those teachers and all those, you know, men of God, as they're walking in the, you know, before the Good Samaritan came around, the guy was robbed in his bed. That's what they were thinking. Philip, I'm actually in a rush. Someone else will come and fix it on the way there. Yeah, there's little things like that just start creeping into the kingdom that we don't realize. It's always about my immediate need, never minding the future outcome. The law of lust. You know, Ephesians 4:17-19 says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the fertility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed. To indulge in every kind of impurity and they're full of greed. Okay? Give me, give me, give me. You know? It's Maina. So my daughter's at that stage and everything is Maina. It's Maina. You know? But it's daddy's phone. Yeah, Mayfuan. Mayfuan, she says. And that's where we're at. Full of greed, indulging every impurity. Okay, why? Because it's there now, and that's, you know, it's, if it's there, it must be good. You know? If I'm attracted to so-and-so, it must be good. Okay, because it makes me feel good. So it must be good. never mind the fact that that person you're attracted to is only 16 and you're a 40-year-old, okay? Just because it makes you feel good doesn't mean that it's right. But when you're living according to yourself and your own law, okay, when you are at the center of it, who's to tell you what is right and what is wrong? Who's to tell you? It's all relative. And Henny shared, I was listening to him at Bible school. So, sorry, Henny, I'm using you a lot, but you're sitting right in front. You know, about the whole argument of, what is it, that your DNA, homosexuality or something. But anyway, who's to then to stop it at homosexuality? And this is now, this isn't a message about them. It's just obviously an easy example to use at this stage because we all are aware of it. Who's to say then I'm not born and I have an attraction to younger children? If your sexuality is determined genetically, who's to say then, I can't argue, but you can't 100% prove that homosexuality is proved genetically, but now that is kind of the norm that people accept. Okay, well, if that's the case, you can't 100% prove that, you know, pedophilia isn't genetically encoded into my DNA. So, who are you to say that it's right and wrong? The law of lust, centered around myself, whatever makes me feel good, whatever I can take to keep me safe in my little darkened room, you can't tell me otherwise. Who are you? You're nobody. You know, growth. The king, obviously, he ultimately calls the shots when it comes to growth of his kingdom. If he decides he wants to go take over the neighboring kingdom through war and violence, it's his call. If he decides they're going to do it democratically, and they're going to, not democratically, they're peaceably, and they're going to chat, and they're going to, you know, discuss how they're going to merge together kingdoms, it's his call. So he ultimately decides which direction they grow in, you know, how fast they grow, when they grow, by the means of which they grow. Is it just through, we're just going to export our farming community gradually, there's no one around us, and the borders of our kingdom is going to increase. Okay, so the king ultimately decides that also. It's his say. If he feels, you know what, we're actually going to give away all our land, and I just want my house and my property, my castle and my property, it's his call. So he ultimately decides that. Okay, the kingdom of darkness growth takes place in the darkness. Keep it hidden. Keep it, you know, I go deeper into this thing that is giving me satisfaction now, but no one needs to know about it. And if they do know about it, I'm going to attack them furiously. Okay, if they find out about it, I'm going to find a million different ways to justify what I'm doing because it's about me finding my satisfaction right here and right now. Okay, tomorrow, I don't care about tomorrow. You know, tomorrow is going to be good if today is good. Okay, so I'm going to focus on my little bit of this, a little bit of that. Okay, a little bit of porn here, a little bit of porn there, a little bit of binge eating here, a little bit of overeating there. It's okay, but it's, you know what? It doesn't continue. What happens behind closed doors doesn't affect anybody. Who's said that before? Okay? It doesn't matter. Well, what does it affect you? That's how the kingdom of darkness, that's how the world operates outside of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's innocent. You know, it's behind closed doors. No one, it doesn't affect anybody. And the danger of that is anything that opposes what my beliefs are, anything pure and wholesome and innocent, in order for me to justify what I'm doing, there needs to be more people who are doing it also. So then we bring out movies like The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Then, okay, that's not enough, okay? So we ridicule people who decide to keep themselves pure till then. But how about people who keep themselves pure till 18? Biggest joke. There's a movie out now. Haven't watched it, people, so don't worry. The 18-year-old virgin. So, obviously, I watched the first one because, you know, I was BC. I didn't know better. So, I'm thinking, now they're making a movie of, if you're 18-year-old, they're going to make a comedy about you being 18 and still being a virgin. Okay, so what is it? Let's attack the pure because it's going to justify me doing this more. And the more people who are on board doing this stuff, the more we can strike in the streets and have parades about all our impurities, the more we can pretend that it's pure and it's right and it's wholesome. Okay, so from out of the darkness comes all sorts of evil. Okay, attacking the generations to come. Children, we've always been under attack, but now more than ever, everything is aimed at the next generation. Everything. Every ad that you see on TV is marketed towards the next generation. The music they use, the clothes they wear. Even if it's got nothing to do with a teenager. A teenager is not going to know what to do with one of those things that they go, to mix the what's names, but you know what? If they want to sell it, a cake batter thingy, they're going to market it at teenagers for no reason except that they know if they get them hooked, they've got them in the palm of their hands, and if they get them, they've got the whole family. Okay? If I want to sell my agenda of, you know, what was the code sexually? You know, pornography is okay. Who am I going to attack? I'm not going to attack the adults. I'm not going to attack the heads of the house. I'm going to attack the ones who are still having their identity shaped and formed. Their impurity, their innocence. I'm going to attack that first. Once I've taken that, I've pretty much got them. Even when they come to Jesus, they're going to spend years trying to go through deliverance seminars, all that sort of stuff. And by the time they free of that, it's too late. Not too late, but that's 3 years that they could have been out on the streets, busy saving people on the streets, busy helping people out of the floods, that they spent now trying to get through their troubles that they were exposed to when they're younger. And that's how the world operates. That's how the enemy operates. That's how Satan operates. He's not a dumb guy. He knows what he's doing. This is John 3:19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. It's like, sure, if you went deeper in it, all these vampire movies, sure, it's got, all of it points towards this lust. I think someone actually told me it's got to do with male sexuality and, I don't know, something, like extreme case of that. But at all points, they love the darkness. They cannot even come into the light. And then because they burn, they get exposed, and they die. You know, and all of us need to die at some stage before us to really live. Okay, but times are dark, people are evil, and their deeds are evil, and they want to stay in the dark. Okay? Let me just, okay, still time. So that's the kingdom of darkness, okay? Like I said, authority, we determine the authority. We are the authority for the most part. You know, the law of lust. The third one was growth, okay? Growth takes place in the darkness, from the shadows, and out of the darkness, tries to suck as many people in as possible, many innocent, impure things, and try to even, for the most part, confuse us about what is right and what is wrong. You know, if we're not reading scripture, we're not focused on the word, we just as easily could be very, okay, I don't know, but maybe, I know the Bible says, somewhere in the Bible, it says something about homosexuality. It says something about backbiting and slanderers. I'm not sure where, but you know what, Oprah makes a good point. You know, the last 20 episodes I've watched, they've done a series of the last 2 months on what is right and what is wrong. And she's got a good point. I haven't read my Bible for a while, but I know I've read most of the books in the Bible already anyway. But Oprah makes a good point now. And I think, you know, and Jesus is cool. You know, I've given my life to him. He's great. He's awesome. And I know he loves me. And I'm sure he's okay with what Oprah's saying right now. You know, that's how it becomes. Everything starts getting blurred. And it's subtle. It's just there, just little choices we make. You know, that's why I use the thing of the plastic bag in the road. It sounds stupid, it sounds trivial, okay? But for me, it's just an example of, if we as believers, if we can't take that step out, that is, I'm walking this road not for myself. I'm following Jesus. And just as Jesus was walking around, that one woman that just touched the hem of his garment, he stopped for her and he turned around. He had places to go. He had a million people, you know, like, oh, he's so amazing. Heal me, give me wealth, bless me, give me this, give me that. But he stopped for that one person. He stopped for that one lady caught in adultery to save her from being stoned. For the grand picture, for the grand scheme of things, he knew he was going to die on the cross. He knew we were going to be sitting here. He knew there's going to be millions more saved afterwards. But that's still that piece of trash, as they were looked at in those days. That lady caught in adultery, who was going to be stoned like a dog, was a piece of trash. He still stopped to scoop that one up. And that one act, I mean, I don't know now, but I mean, I guarantee you there's a line that stemmed from that one lady. Someone's going to come out somewhere and say, you're my great, 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 great to the power 10 grandmother was that woman that, when we're in heaven one day, we're going to meet her great, great, great grandchildren. That are walking around now because Jesus stopped for the piece of trash that was blowing across his path. And the kingdom of light. Okay, same three things. Authority, law, and growth. Yeah. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and will have the light of life. You know, John for me is my favorite book in the Bible. I just love it. Just the way he describes Jesus at the beginning, the Word made flesh, all that sort of stuff. I love it. And then, you know, Jesus was talking about being the light of the world. And that's where it starts for us. The kingdom of light is as much as, you know, we come out of the darkness. We give our lives to Christ. We come out of the darkness. Now we're standing out and the sun is blinding us. Just like this thing up here. You know, and we're standing there. We can't really see. We've got those spots. You know, when you look into the sun and you get those spots in your eyes, you can't really see so clear. Don't look into the sun. It's not good for you, apparently. You know, and you can't really see so clear, but we can just see a figure in the beginning and then our eyes start clearing and we can see better. And that's all Jesus says we need to do. We come out of the darkness into the light. And you know what? There's still, our vision is 100% clear. Our worldview is still being sorted out. You know, we're still busy getting all these things sorted out. But then all he says is just follow me. That figure there, you see dimly now in a mirror. You only know in part. You don't know everything. But just follow me. You'll know my voice because I've called you by name. Just follow me and the rest will get sorted out. What you don't understand, just keep following me. And you know, first to the light of life. Live in me. Walk with me. That's all you need to do. An authority in the kingdom of light. Obviously the king is Jesus Christ. He sits on the throne of the kingdom. Okay, all authority is his. And Jesus, in Matthew 28:18 says, all authority, Jesus talking to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he obviously goes and go therefore and make disciples in the whole earth. All authority. John, he talks often in John that the Father has shown me all things. All those sort of things. He refers to the authority that's been given to him. You know, C.S. obviously uses the analogy a lot, and I think, yeah, Henny also used it last week, of all authority has been given to him. So what he says goes. You know, if he says, Eugene, you're going to be a blonde from next week, you're like, but how can I? I'm brunette. You made me brunette in the womb. He's like, no, you will be blonde. Boom. Eugene's blonde for next week. Okay? All authority, what he says goes. And that makes it difficult also. As much as we've just come out of the darkness now, we've been living and we still are struggling with the fact that we are not on our throne anymore. You cannot give your life to Christ. You cannot step into that relationship if you still want to sit on the throne. You can't be like, okay, Jesus, this bun will be on this side of the seat and you can sit on that side of the throne. Okay, so your left bun and my right bun. And we'll sit there like that. Yeah, great, high five. Best buds for life. You cannot do that. I'm sorry about the analogy, but that's how we tend to do it. You know, best buds for life. We'll share the throne. Okay? But because we've been from a young age, I mean, that's what happens when you're born into sin, I guess. My daughter's just over 2, and she already thinks she runs the house. You know? No, 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 wait for him. No. And she does this thing when she talks to you. She did it this morning with the lion. I don't know who was here this morning. It's like, Leo, come. Go ahead. I'm like, who are you to tell the lion? He's a grown-up lion. He can do what he wants. She's like, come now. Easy lion. He really called me. I'm like, but who are you to tell him? We got a shout for him. You know? Or I'll quickly send an email on Machli's laptop. It's open on the desk. And then she'll come up to me and she'll be like, this mama's a lap. Mama's a, yes, mama's son. Muni. And she'll look like, at the top of Muni, this mama son. I'm like, but daddy's just quickly. She's like, Muni, and she'll grab me by hand. I'm like, mama, daddy's using your laptop. Do you know that? You know? So from a young age, I suppose it's part of the sinful nature. We think we know everything and we rule everything. Now we step out of the darkness. We're like, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. But just hold on. I just quickly want to go bury the dead. Okay? And she's like, no. You've got to decide. You said I'm Lord over your life, so walk with me. Trust me. Let go of those things that you think you need to do, and let me show you what you will do in the power of the cross. And then there's a big difference. You know, even when we talk about calling, we're like, I'm called to do this, I'm called to do that. Oh, I'm so blessed, I'm so anointed, prophet, evangelist, Johannes, Jacobus, Peter Thief. You know? I'm called and anointed for this. Are you really? He is. Okay, but what is Jesus telling you to do now? What is Jesus saying about this calling you're going to have? Because it's not your calling, it's His calling. He just decided to work it through you. You know, we in the Old Testament, I think it's Jonah, where it's literally God's like, look, there are other people I could use also. I've decided to work through you, but it doesn't mean that you're now, you know, you were born with an extra chromosome on your DNA. Okay? I'm the God. I'm going to do these things, but I want to work through you. If you don't want to do it, go jump in a lake. Okay? I'll go find someone else. And Jonah obviously eventually does fall into the lake, doesn't jump into, and we know the rest of the story. But that's how we sometimes look at it. We're like, oh, I've got such a great calling. True, but it's not your calling. It's God's calling. He's decided to work through you, and you're just a vessel for His grace. Okay? And that's what we struggle with. We struggle to be like, okay, Jesus, you have all authority in this kingdom. You are sitting on the throne of my life. That's why I can delight in you, because you could just as easily snap your fingers and send me to that fiery lake that I don't even want to talk about, as you could give me a hug and an embrace. I guess I'm going to completely delight in you. Everything I have, everything I feel I need, I'm laying it all at your feet, and I'm just saying thank you that by your grace you have called me by name. Okay? And then law of love. Okay? The reason I put that up there, I was thinking, okay, now 3 points. Okay? Now I've got the law thing, all that stuff that obviously... But law of love is very kind of broad. We use it so much. Luke 10:27, he answered, love the Lord our God, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The law in the kingdom of light, the law when we step into that relationship with Jesus, is not about do's and don'ts. God showed us that we can't do it with do's and don'ts. 600 and something laws, and we couldn't get it right. God knew it. So he says, start with just loving me. Start with focusing everything you have on me. And all those other things will start falling by the wayside. You know, we carry these, as Moisey has also shared about burdens, just so you know, you felt a word for just burdens falling off. You know, we carry all these things around with us. Either a list of what we've accumulated over the years of what is right and what is wrong. We carry it with us. Then we come to Jesus, but we don't let go of this thing. We carry it. We carry it. You know? Then we let go of this stuff, but then there's all these scars of things we did wrong. You know, and it's there. You know, and the enemy reminds us of us constantly. And then there's some stuff, I'm not gonna lie, it's gonna be with us for the rest of our lives. Doesn't mean we have to act in it. You know, men always have a sensitivity towards lust. Doesn't mean we have to act out in lust. Doesn't mean we have to move there, but it's there. And we're like, oh, but Lord, can't you just get rid of this stuff completely? And Jesus says, just walk with me. And the more you walk, the stronger you're going to get. You know, for those of you who did athletics, one of the drills we did was you run with like either tire behind you or someone's holding you back with like an elastic band. In the beginning, you start and you literally can't move. You're like running, but you're in the same spot and the grass is just like shooting back and you're not going anywhere. And it's kind of humiliating in the beginning, because in the bigger oaks are like, never happened to me. Hey, Mousy, he's back. Hey. It's actually a mouse. I'm not just being... Well, I thought I heard an amen squeak there. But as the more you go, that weight becomes like nothing. The more you train, the more you just focus on going forward, that weight becomes like nothing. Okay, and all those things that, you know, we feel just that we can't just get rid of. Jesus said, just follow me. Follow me. Paul says, I prayed 3 times about this thorn and it never went, but I'm not just following Jesus. I'm just going after Jesus. As we go, we start getting stronger. Those things don't just fall off. Okay, we have the ability to just keep going. Not because of us, but because of the God we're following. And when our legs are lame, He's going to just drag us there and pick us up. Let us rest for a bit and then we're going to carry on. Okay, so it's not about do's and don'ts. Okay, it's about focusing on Jesus. Okay, and the great thing is He's given us a helper that leads us into all truth. Okay, so it's not about trying to measure what is right and wrong. We focus on the Word. As we read the Word, the Holy Spirit comes on us and starts showing us. And it just starts, as we read it, it's like we get this imprint. Boom, boom, boom. You know, I'm not as good at memorizing scripture as any. So often I'll ask him, and I'll be like, you know that scripture that says, and he'll be like, yeah, John 4 verse 62, there's actually a similar verse in, you know, Lamentations 4 verse 19 that talks, and I'm just like, how do you remember that? How do you remember that? You know? Maybe God's using him as like a cloud storage. So when all the Bibles are burnt in the world, and he's just going to do a download of it to rewrite everything. Sorry, Henny, I'm embarrassing you this morning. But it's a great gift. I wish I could do it. So where was I? Yeah, so as we read, and that's what he does, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's just about spending time with him. His Holy Spirit comes. As we're reading, that stuff just gets implanted to us. So if we can remember a verse and whatever, you know, great. But as we read it, it starts becoming part of us. That imprint just becomes part of our lives. You know, people say, oh, I once counseled a guy, and he was like, yo, I've read the whole Bible. There's nothing really new for me. And I'm like, you need to get saved. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to come for you. Because how can you say that there's nothing new for you in a book that actually spans eternity? It doesn't end. So we focus on Jesus, and those things just start coming. You know, and as we cannot love our neighbors if we don't love God first. We cannot act out in compassion if we don't understand what God's heart is for the nations. Okay, so we focus on Jesus. When we sing these songs, we realize we're singing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we're singing it, okay, that just starts manifesting in when we walk out in the streets, when we're out on the streets. Okay, that we can't help but love the people around us, love those who are getting wasted on the side of the road, you know, busy partying every night. We can't help but love them. Because Jesus came to die on the cross for people. Okay, he loved the world so much that he gave his only son. Okay, he came to die on the cross for people, not for dogs, not for cats, not for anything. He came to die for the people. Okay, and if we aren't loving the people, it's because we're not loving God enough. Okay, and then growth. Almost done. And then growth. As Christ leads us by the Holy Spirit. As he decides, this is the expansion of the kingdom. It's not for us to decide when and how and what we do. It's just following his Holy Spirit as he leads us. In John 3:6-8, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And that's how God expands his kingdom. When we are just willingly, like that leaf in the wind. The leaf doesn't tell the wind where to take it. The leaf goes where the wind is going. And exactly the same. He sends his Holy Spirit, and by that he starts, the Holy Spirit tells us everything that God wants us to know. He leads us where we need to go. Do you start praying when you walk in and say, Lord, just show me where you move. Jesus, show me where you are moving this morning. Who have you spoken to this morning? Who have you got a word for this morning? Holy Spirit, show me where you are currently moving. 90% of the time, God will show you. And it's not a spooky kind of, you know, you're walking and you see a gremlin sitting on the guy's shoulder. It's not sort of thing. You will just know. If you're connected, if you're spending time in the Word, if you're spending time in his presence, you'll know his voice and you'll know when he's telling you, this person, all you have to do is just flip that switch. The electricity's already built up. The generator's pumped in for this person's life. Just flip the switch for me and he'll get all the things he's been praying for. Just go speak to him now and he'll get it. He'll know what you're talking about. It might sound stupid, but he'll know what you're talking about. Go up to him and say, you know that red tricycle that you had when you were younger? God wants to reestablish that feeling in your life again, that connection again. You're like, red tricycle, connection? I don't get the connection. God says, just go tell it to him, because he's already been working in that person's life. And that's how it is with those in the kingdom. That's how it is with those born of the Spirit. You know what? We don't know where we've been going, but we know Jesus knows where he's going. We know he knows where he's taking us. And just like that leaf, you fall out the tree and you go and you start planting, that seed goes somewhere and it plants and it grows and becomes a mighty oak again. Oh, okay, oaks, acorns don't float in the wind, but you know what I mean. If he fights again and he decides, no, I want to be planted right here. You know, there's no guarantee that it's going to take ground and it's going to take root and it's going to blossom. So we just float on the breeze, on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just lead me. If you start praying, you know what, Lord, I'm tired this morning. I'm going to work. That atheist is there again, and he said he's going to come and talk to me about your resurrection. I didn't have time to study up on it. But Lord, I'm just laying it all at your feet. More of you and less of me, Jesus. More of you and less of me, Holy Spirit. Just take the lead, because I'm tired of debating with this guy. And you know, when you get there and all God says is just say, you know what? Your earthly dad might not love you, but I love you. You might have walked out on you, I never walk out on you. And you're like, oh, okay, so I didn't have to study the resurrection. No, you still have to do your homework at some stage. But for this moment right now, because you want to know what I'm busy doing in his life, this is what I'm busy doing in his life. I'm showing him what it means to have a father. So it is with those born of the Spirit. You know, and for us, we've got to decide which kingdom we're walking in. You know, which kingdom are we walking in? You know, the one has us on the throne, has you and me on the throne. You know, or it has us sharing the seat with Jesus. Or is Jesus on the throne? Because in the debates, even coming to church, you know, we've all got our opinions on what church should look like. You know, oh, there's too many lights on stage. Why is it so dark in here? You know, we've all got our opinions. But when we're sitting in, we're like, oh, it's too dark on stage, and it's too light on stage. Then you're not here for Jesus. You know, if I felt like, you know what, we're going to have no lights in here. We're just going to have the PA system. There's going to be no lights because I want us to sit in the darkness so we can just focus on Jesus. It's my opinion. It's my feeling, you know, unless God has met me in a dream. But if we come in, we're like, we're here to meet Jesus. There could be no roof on this place. It doesn't matter. Because I'm here to meet Jesus. When we sit in any, and it's not just in church, any place, where we're sitting there, and I'm speaking to myself here. As we were sitting here, I just thought, yes, I'd do that also. It doesn't matter where you go. If we as children of the light, sitting in a place where we're more focused on what is wrong than what God wants to do right in people's lives, then we're missing it completely. You know, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. And he came to save it because he came to save us from ourselves. So which kingdom are we on? Are we in the kingdom where our opinion and our thing means more than what God is trying to do? Because when you're out there, all these people, you know, who are out there busy, you know, we went up to the NG Helderberg, and you can say what you like about them. You know, I don't know the big history stuff and all that. But the bottom line is they were taking up a collection. They open up their venue to bring clothes, all that sort of stuff. What do you think Jesus would have been doing? Because he's not done yet. So, what do you think he would have been doing now over the last couple of days? Locked himself in his room. And like I said, I'm speaking to myself because that's exactly what I did. Locked himself in his room, eating popcorn, watching a movie. Where would he have been? So the decision really is, okay, which kingdom do I believe I'm in? And which fruits am I busy showing in my life? What is most evident? When I ask people, what do you think of me? What do they say? Do they say I'm impatient? Do they say I'm judgmental? That I'm critical? Or do they say, you're so filled with goodness. Your patience and long-suffering is amazing. I don't know where you get it. It's like supernatural. You're so kind. So loving. I don't get it. How can you, there's zombies taking over the world and this is all that I see in your life. What do people see in your life? And you know, and I'm not saying any of this is easy, but it all comes from, if we are children of the light, if we are in the kingdom of light, we are feeding off the Word of God. We are finding our life in the Word of God. His Spirit is dwelling in us, and the fruits of the Spirit become evident. And it's not about getting it right all the time, but when we get it wrong, no one has to tell us we got it wrong. No one needs to tell you, yes, sir, you were very impatient with that person. We straight away are just like, oh, Lord, I just missed it. Holy Spirit, I just wasn't connected with you there. And I just, that guy, he meant well, and he couldn't help. Or what he did, but I just really, no one needs to tell us about those things. We know it. We see it. I don't know if the band can come up so long. You know, and here's a common point for both kingdoms. You have to be born into both of them. You have to be born into both of them. There's too many people walking around now being like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I follow him and all that stuff, but have you, just like you were born into this sinful nature, into this world, have you ever been born from above? As the scripture says, have you ever been born again? Your second birth, that you're stepping out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the world, and into the kingdom of light. As a question, and if you have done that, have you stepped over like this? Or have you stepped over like this? It's like, Jesus, I'm following you. I'm following you. And something goes bad, then we go back to our dark room and lock ourselves into the room and just worry about the year now and how am I going to get through it? You know, it's great singing I Surrender All when we're at church. But when that day comes when you've lost your job, you've lost a family member, are we going to jump from this to this and figure out how we're going to fix everything? Or are we going to be like Job? Shave our head, tear our clothes, and we'll stop praising because there's nothing else we can do. And it's a decision we need to make, whether believer or unbeliever, born again believer or not born again. Because when we get to that place, then we can start preaching the gospel, preaching the kingdom. Because then we'll know what the gospel really means. You know, Jesus sends out his disciples, and it all started for me when I was looking at the kingdom, just with these two scriptures. Luke 11 verse 9, I don't have it on there now, where Jesus sends out his disciples and he tells them, you know, obviously go from town to town, he's a man of peace, going to the house, all that sort of stuff. But if they, you know, and when you go there, you know, preach the gospel, heal the sick, demonstrate the kingdom. It's not just talk about all the great things, but demonstrate it to them. Live the life that you've been called to. And I'm like, so I've been missing it. I'm not saying the church has always missed it in this case, but I feel the church as a whole has missed it very often. You know, there's a lot of theological stuff you can talk about behind it, and it's great and it's interesting. But the basic principle is, Jesus came to die on the cross for us. To give us hope. To comfort those who are weeping. All those sort of things. And to demonstrate that the kingdom does not operate by the rules of the world. There's a power in the kingdom, but the power doesn't point towards itself and the person. The power points back towards Jesus. If the power of the Holy Spirit isn't operating in your life, you need to ask God to make it manifest. Not for your sake, but that you can truly start living out the kingdom. And I'm not going to say, what are the do's and don'ts? You know, if you're not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, it's because you're not reading, you know, so many books of the Bible a day. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to say, have you truly stepped out of the kingdom of the world? Because if you have, you're going to want to spend time in His Word. And I'm as guilty as the rest of you for most parts. You know, I made a joke now, but I don't do it every weekend, okay, so before people start throwing stones at me. But I really just had that conviction of yourself. Okay, you might not do it that often, but once is too much. Sitting there, you know, playing games or watching a movie. There's certain times where you just have to obey what God is telling you. Sometimes God is saying, you need to go pray right now. You're asking for me to manifest the power in your life, but you can't have the power without me. And you can't have me if you're not going to spend time with me. Someone else has a little stand. I want everybody to close their eyes. Under whose authority are you living this life? Ask yourself those three questions. makes the ultimate decisions in your life? And I'm not talking about whether you put cheese or ham on your sandwich. I'm talking about the big decisions in your life that are not just going to affect you, they're going to affect everybody around you. By what law are you living? Is the law where you just want to take as much as possible just to make sure that you have your own little piece of whatever to make it through the day? Is it the law of lust or is it the law of love? Because you cannot take and give at the same time. It's one or the other. You can receive and give. You cannot take and give. And who's determining your movements? Which kingdom are you expanding? Is it your own little kingdom? Are you moving or are you going like that leaf in the wind? Like that seed that's busy floating, the little dandelion thingy. It's busy floating and it's going to land on fertile soil. Or are you happy and content with just sitting in your darkened room, just making sure that you can justify everything that you're doing in the shadows? I'm saying this because we as believers quickly fall into those habits again. For many of us, we've got years of training in the dark arts, if I can put it that way. And I'm not talking about witchcraft necessarily. I'm just talking about the things that keep us bound to the kingdom of darkness. We've got years of training. Some of us, not all of us, have very few years of exercising the principles that Jesus has put in place. Being able to love God with everything so that ultimately we can love those around us. Luke 9:6 says, "And they departed and went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." The kingdom is about the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, as two people, as you're just looking at yourself right now, it's not about anybody else, we're not looking around. There's two groups of people I believe we need to pray for tonight. You've lost that ability for your first love. Scripture talks about, I'm reading a lot now in Ezekiel, it's talking about just remember your youth. Remember that when you were first born into this kingdom, when you became a child in this kingdom. For some of us, it's easy, we forget that. We get caught up in work, all that stuff. We forget that. Maybe you're here tonight and you forgot that. All these things that I'm saying now, maybe you've heard nothing except for one thing, but that one thing has meant you've had to start looking at yourself again. You're standing like I was standing here with one foot in your old life and one foot moving ahead, trying to control your circumstance. If that is you, just where you're standing with everybody's eyes closed, I just want you to raise a hand. Just say, look, I need to come back to my first love again. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hand down again. And here's the other thing. Maybe, just maybe, I'm putting it out there, you're saying, I need to come back to my first love. But you don't actually know what that birth experience is like. You can't remember either what it was like, that day of salvation where you gave your life to Jesus. Or more than likely, you never really had that experience. It's not about the experience, but your life changes at that moment. You can never forget when your life changes. It's like losing a loved one. You never forget when you lose a loved one. And if you lose your life to Jesus, you hand over your life so that you can walk in His life, you will remember that day. So the first group of people, if you are that person, you can't actually remember that day for one of two reasons. And we're not going to go into neither. You've never surrendered and been born from above, as Scripture says. Born of the Spirit, where God has birthed you, just like you were born of water initially through your mother's womb. You then get born in the Spirit. You can't remember it because either you haven't been born of the Spirit, and you're here at this point to this evening because this is your night of birth. This is your birthday. Or the cares of the world have come in so much and so drastically in your life. And I feel there's some here that just over this last short period now, it hasn't been long, just the second half of the year, the cares of the world have come in so powerful, so hectically in your life that you feel completely unsafe right now. And you couldn't, at this point, you're almost happy to be there. Because you don't know another life. This is how it is right now. I don't know who that is, but I believe there's someone here like that tonight. If you're one of those two people, we want to pray with you together. And I'm going to ask you, just like everybody's eyes closed, all the bands are playing in the background, let us pray with you tonight. Don't leave without celebrating your birthday again here tonight, so you can step fully into His kingdom. So I'm going to ask you that, Izzy, if you raise your hand, please, just to come stand in front of you, just in front of Henny. We're going to all, as family, pray for you together. It's not about shame and it's not about ridicule, but Jesus, if Jesus could bear the cross and carry it and bore all that shame and all that stuff, all you need to do is just break that fear of man right now and just step so we can pray with you. Okay, is there anybody like I do has the boldness to want to say, Jesus, I want to celebrate my birthday with you again here today? Is there anybody? I'm going to give a couple of seconds. Please just come step out. Those who raise their hands, let us pray with you together. Okay, and the second group of people. Okay, I'm going to ask you to stand on my right here. You've never experienced the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Once you're born of Spirit, part of that is you need to start following the Holy Spirit. You need to start moving in lots of those gifts. You've never experienced that. We've never operated in that. You don't know what that means. You can't pray in the Spirit. You can't pray in tongues. It's not the only sign, but it's one of the things that does happen. And you desire that. You desire to operate more in the Spirit. I'm going to ask you just where you are now. I'm not going to ask you to raise it. I'm going to ask you just to come to the front here so I can lay hands on you. So stir up the gift that was in you, that is within you, with the laying on of my hands. Okay, fan of flame. So that is you, and you can't do any of those things in the Spirit that I was talking about. I'm going to ask you just to come to my right here so I can lay hands on you. Pastor Henny there is going to pray with us. We're going to pray together. Those two people, Holy Spirit, infilling of the Holy Spirit, okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and being born into the kingdom, yeah, being born again on the side of